Hello and welcome back to the Communication Mastery Podcast. This is episode 7 of season 2. And if you didn't catch episode 6 with Tom Winslow, I want you to go back and listen to that. What a great conversation that was. That man is just so inspiring. And so, take a listen to that as well. We're learning so much from some of these guests. And in between the guests, I want to try and zero in on some of the principles that will help you to apply what you've been hearing as we've had conversations with others. And today what I want to zero in on is how do you move from the basics of communication, which we talk about a lot on this podcast, how do I go from the basics to more communication mastery? Because that's our goal in this podcast. How do I keep growing my communication skills? How do I move from just the simple foundations and get to the level where I really know that I'm doing something good with my communication? With whoever it is, obviously our focus is primarily on teams and groups and the business world or the nonprofit world, but this applies just as much in your personal life, in your family, in whatever other setting you are, your church or your civic organization, any of those settings too. So the first thing to do, of course, is to settle the basics. So if you haven't pulled out your life language profile for a while, pull it out again. Take another look and see what you can learn from it. There may be some of you listening, you haven't taken a life languages profile. And so tongue in cheek, let me say, what are you doing? Why haven't you done that? Because that is going to give you a foundational level of self-awareness that's going to be invaluable to you as you look for communication mastery and you want to grow your communication skills. But many of you have taken your profile, and for those of you who have, take a look at the date on the front of that profile, because if it's more than about 18 months ago, or if there's been some major life change for you since that time, maybe a change of job, or maybe you've moved house, or maybe something else has changed in your life, maybe you've just gone through COVID and the pandemic, and your profile comes from before then. It may be worth retaking that profile because you will find some of the things will have changed. And it's no good trying to grow from old information. Work with fresh information so that you know that you're working with a true snapshot of yourself in this season of your life, whatever that may look like. So you go to your profile. And first of all, I would do the act, feel, think exercise. With your profile results, label each of those bars on your chart of results with whether this is an action language or a feeling language or a thinking language, because it'll give you insight into your communication process generically in any setting. And if you understand the process that you go through as you communicate, then you'll be aware of when that fits and when it doesn't fit with other people or in new settings where it's maybe not so appropriate. So for me, my communication process is that I tend to feel, then think, then feel, then think again, and so on. My action generally comes later. Action comes fifth and seventh in my profile. That'll be different for you, but understanding the process helps me to know that, oh, I'm in a circumstance now where action is needed and I need to pull it up in my process from where it would normally be to where it needs to be for today or for this setting. So understand the act, feel, think process with your specific profile. That's going to be a starting point that'll lead you forward into more mastery. Second place I'd like you to look on your profile is your overall intensity, because we like to say that the overall intensity trumps every other measure. So if your overall intensity is an 80 or above, you need to know that you come across pretty strongly to other people around you in whatever language it is that's high. Maybe it's two or three languages, but whatever it is that's at the top of your profile, that's going to come through pretty loud to people when you're interacting with them. If your overall intensity is lower, you need to understand that even though you might have a fairly powerful action language or a powerful feeling language at the top of your profile, maybe even a very powerful thinking strategic language at the top of your profile, if your overall intensity is lower, then it's not going to come across as strongly. So it's good to understand your overall intensity. With those with a lower overall intensity, that what I will do if I'm coaching is I'll say, just figure out how do I give this a little more gas when it needs it. A little bit like when the light changes from red to green. If you accelerate really slowly, all the people behind you are going to be leaning on their horns. Same thing with communication. If you have a low overall intensity, that's not wrong, but you need to learn to adapt it in certain settings, like when the stoplight changes, so that you can increase it if you need to. More importantly, if you have a high overall intensity, let's use the same analogy, you have a sports car of a communication profile, and you need to learn how to lift your foot off the gas, especially in speed limit areas. Otherwise, you're going to get communication speeding tickets. And so to learn how to back off your intensity is a very important thing for those who have a higher overall intensity. Both of these things are leading you from the basics into more mastery, because our goal is that you continue to be effective in communication rather than unwittingly undermining what you're trying to do in whatever setting it may be. One more thing from your profile as a basic to look at. Look at your range. That's the distance between your first language and your seventh. And if it's fairly low, it means your languages are close together. And remember, we've talked about this in previous episodes, at least in season one. If your languages are close together, you can switch between them quite easily. But you need to be careful to take people with you when you switch from one language to another. Otherwise, you can appear confusing or hard to read. Conversely, if you've got a high range and your languages are further apart, people are likely to see your primary language more than all the others. And then you'll need to remember to bring the others into the picture as they're needed. Again, the more you practice this, the better you'll get at it. A little bit like learning to drive standard transmission. It's pretty jerky, pretty tough to start with, isn't it? But once you get used to it, it becomes very smooth. And as it gets smoother, your communication mastery is increasing. So there's some basics from your own profile. Then the second thing that leads you towards mastery is to learn about other people's preferences, because the people around you are most likely very different from you. Of course, the obvious example is in a married couple, where the old adage that opposites attract is often true with communication styles. And your highest language may be your significant other's lowest, and vice versa. If it is, you need to make sure that you take account of that in your interaction. Otherwise, your relationship's going to suffer. However, if you do take account of it, your relationship will be stronger than a couple whose relationship is maybe that their profiles are similar, their styles are similar, then they don't have the diversity of communication style that can be a great strength in a relationship. But turning the focus to the business or nonprofit world now, if you don't understand the preferences of others on your team, you don't understand their stronger languages, or you don't take account of them, then you're always going to be operating in your preferred style, and then you're going to miss out on so many of the other languages that you can access as you need to in order to make a connection with other people. So learning others' preferences is your second step towards mastery from the basics. And you can grow your knowledge of the fundamentals of each language with a Life Languages workshop. I have those on my website from time to time, where I'm doing them online, or sometimes I'm doing them live here in the Myrtle Beach area. But also you can get the Communication IQ book. If you are not able to get that yourself, you can reach out to me. Just contact me through my website. I keep a stock of those and I can mail one to you. But the Communication IQ book has got so much more in it than we could ever cover in a podcast, and I highly recommend it. So growing your knowledge of the fundamentals of each of the seven languages is yet another way, a little bit like you would practice a regular language. Suppose you're learning Japanese, like a friend of mine told me the other day. She's just started to learn Japanese, and already as she watches movies with subtitles, she's beginning to see some of the patterns that she didn't know before. As you practice, your mastery grows. And so growing your knowledge of the fundamentals will be a really valuable thing to do to move you towards mastery. And then the next step is where the rubber really begins to hit the road, because you will come across challenges. You will find challenges in communication or in relationships or in teamwork. And as your challenges present themselves, you can apply the knowledge you've been gaining to the challenges that arise. Some of my favorite clients are the ones who come to me and say, I have this particular challenge with this particular person. I believe these are the languages in play. This is what I think I should do. Give me some wisdom on what I might be missing, or tell me if I'm getting it wrong. That's the greatest way to grow your mastery, is to begin to apply your knowledge of the communication styles to each interaction or to each challenge you face and see what you can learn. Will it work every time? Probably not. But will you learn from every time you do that? Of course you will. And your mastery will grow as you do that. And in particular, what I'd recommend you focus on if you're beginning to do this process of applying your knowledge to the challenges that come along, start with looking at the need from others for the primary languages of the people involved in whatever challenge it may be. Let's suppose, for example, a hypothetical example, but suppose you've got a customer who's not satisfied with work that you've done for them. So it's a customer service issue. But this particular customer, you see that they are action-oriented, and it's not to do with innovation and making things better. It's more to do with getting things finished. So the complaint from the customer is that some of the work wasn't done in a timely way, or the standard of the way it was finished wasn't to their liking, whether it was a document you wrote for them or whether it was some practical work you did. So from that, you know that you're looking at the doer language, and what the doer needs from others is to know that you are doing your share in the fixing of this issue. And so I would zero in on that and make it very clear to the customer, here's what I'm going to do, here's what I think needs to be done, here's what I'm going to get somebody else to do, and please tell me if that will satisfy your issue, or will that resolve the problem for you, or what may we have missed? Because remember, the doer language is very good at seeing what has been overlooked by others in practical terms. So that would be one way that you can adapt in a challenging situation to use your language's knowledge to be able to serve that customer better than you would otherwise. Another thing that you can do is to remember the filter questions of whichever language you think is primary for the person that you're resolving a challenge with. Maybe it's a workmate that you're having difficulty working together on a project, and you realize that this person maybe is a high shaper. That would be their first language. They're very strategic, very global oriented. They can see the end from the beginning. And the filter question for the shaper is, do you have a plan? Well, if I come into that situation as a colleague to try to work together, but I'm constantly demonstrating by my actions or my words that I don't have a plan, that's going to leave that shaper person in distress, and therefore our relationship as we work together on the project is going to suffer. If I recognize that that's the language that's in play, I want to highlight the plan, and I want to highlight the steps of the plan whenever we interact. Now, that may be a challenge for me if it's not a high language. So if I face that challenge and do some preparation ahead of time, I can really make a difference. So apply your knowledge of the languages to the challenges that arise, and that will continue to grow your mastery in those areas. Then beyond that, there are advanced tools that we can bring into the equation to solve specific issues, particularly if there's interpersonal issues in a team or even just between two people. We can use tools like crosstalks, where we compare two profiles side by side and see where the challenge points are going to come. Or there's an exercise called expressing my languages, where the both of you, especially if you're having trouble relating face-to-face over some issue, the both of you do some work beforehand, and then you get together with a coach or with me to talk through, this is my profile and this is how it applies to our relationship or our interaction or our working project. And as you work through expressing my languages, then that can often highlight an area where we can make a difference, make a change. It may be only a small adjustment, but it makes all the difference in the way we work together. And again, your communication mastery grows as you do that. Two more things to say. First of all, don't dwell on mistakes. When you get something wrong, own it, apologize for it, ask forgiveness if you have to, if it's hurt somebody else, but then learn from it and move on. It's a great mistake to always dwell on the thing I got wrong last week or last month or even last year, because I'm carrying forward old baggage that slows down my ability to grow my communication mastery. And then the second thing is to keep applying the insights you gain. So you may learn something, even if something goes wrong in your attempt to grow your mastery or your attempt to address a challenge. If it goes wrong, learn from it. Find something you can take away from that failure and apply it to the future. Here's something I learned. Here's something I saw. I think I've told you before that I suddenly realized some years ago now that I'd been asking my wife the wrong question for many years. When I asked her, what do you think? She couldn't tell me. And it would always strain our relationship, especially if it was a big issue that we were trying to resolve or we were trying to address. But when I realized that her languages are primarily feeling languages first, I ask her, what do you feel about this? Just change the question. And it really makes all the difference. That's one example, a simple example, but it's hopefully helpful to you, where you can apply your insights that you gain. I realized, oh, wrong question. And then I apply that going forward, and it grows my communication mastery so that next time I don't make the same mistake. I've learned, I've grown, and now my communication is getting stronger and more effective. So that's helpful, I hope, for you for this time, looking at how we move from basics to mastery. Any way I can help you, just go to my website, click on the Let's Talk button. That'll help you schedule a quick Zoom call with me. I'd be happy to help you. And we're going to have another great guest in our next episode. So come back in 2 weeks and we'll see you then.